Luke the 15th chapter. Early this morning in prayer, I felt very strongly impressed, because I've been feeling this for a while on this message. And today in prayer, early this morning, I just felt the Lord speak to me and tell me that they who should be here, that some of them whom the Lord has laid his hand on to come, were not going to be here. And I said, then Lord, what should I do with this message? And the Lord said, you're to minister this. And so I've already had a warning of the Lord. There were some people that were supposed to be here, and the Lord told me in prayer this morning, they weren't going to come, because they're not a people of good understanding. And they don't know the hour that they're living in. But nevertheless, the Lord wanted me to go ahead and preach this morning. So I want you to read with me, as I read aloud, from Luke the 15th chapter and the 11th verse. This is Jesus speaking. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And they began to be merry. Read it again, please, in the 15th verse. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'd like to minister this morning on this thought of a time of understanding. A time of understanding. And God gives that to every human being. A time of understanding. For a nation, for a church, for an individual. And if we be wise, we will take what the Lord is trying to tell us and say, Lord, speak to me. And let me hear what the Spirit has to say. for this is a time of understanding. Wisdom of God is being poured out. God is opening things to this people that the greatest of prophets never even fully understood. And I'm going to tell you this so that you might understand where we are and the importance of this message this morning, as I'm going to weave it in for those who are drifting from God and then those who are wanting more of God. He said to Daniel, close up the book. Daniel won't understand it. He said, this is not for you, and it's not for this time, but it's for the last days. He said, you're not to understand it now, but this will all be unveiled in the last days. Daniel, of whom was one of the wisest men outside of Solomon. So the Spirit told Daniel. Daniel was a man of great wisdom. There were things that he could not understand for his hour. But in this final hour, God is going to unveil things of understanding to us and wisdom and knowledge. Yet I see many of God's people that are so carnal and so wrapped up in their things of life and their little petty problems that the great God of glory is saying, I want to open to you a world that I have had hidden and closed to all previous generations. Praise God. But you can't get that until you finally see your condition and what God has for you. Now, I know it's Sunday morning, and why God picks Sunday mornings to do this when our mind is the dullest, I don't understand. But nevertheless, I will obey the Holy Ghost. A time of understanding. Please listen up to the Holy Ghost this morning. Brother Kraft, will you come and pray over the remainder of the service?
Let's all lift our hands and pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for what we feel in this service. Lord, your word tells us to perceive the understanding, O God. Lord, if we understood this morning the seriousness of the hour that we are living in, God, Lord, let us to understand what we're going through, what this world is leading us to, God. Lord, if we only knew and understood this morning what was coming upon this world, Lord, we would not have to be begged to pray. Lord, we would not have to be pampered. We would not have to be begged to come to church. Lord, give us an understanding this morning of what is upon us, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I thank you, O God.
Clap our hands one more time to the Lord, shall we? Praise the name of the Lord. A time of understanding. Praise God. God bless you in the name of the Lord. I read an article of a family and the life that they were living and some things that happened to them. They were living quite well. Their neighbors said of them that they never could have dreamed what could have happened to this family. So, true story. It's kind of like middle class America. But the gentleman was doing quite well as far as money was concerned. He had a very high paying job. They lived down in a very beautiful neighborhood. They had a gorgeous home. And as the article began to express these people's lifestyle, it was everything that any American would ever have wanted to come to. This man was in higher management, and his paycheck was tremendous. His cars were fine. His family was a very lovely family. And on the outward, everything looked great. But while this family had all of this entrapments and all of these amenities of life, yet there was an inner turmoil that was going on behind the doors of this very, very beautiful home. Because this gentleman did not have good understanding about what was important in life. Because many times when you get caught up in the rat race, more and more time has to be given to making more and more money so that you might pay more and more taxes, so that you might have more and more things of life.
And so early in the morning he would arise, and late at night he would come home, and there was no communication between he and his wife, because these were not people of good understanding. Now all of the neighbors looked upon them as somebody who had arrived and who had achieved, but this man did not have good communication between he and his children, and so the beautiful dream was crumbling and falling apart, and God was nowhere to be found, because there was no time for God. Sundays were spent in trying to catch up with all that had gone on that week, and there was no time given to the love of God. It was the love of money and the love of things, because this family had no good understanding. And the wife said later, I didn't see the signs. I don't know how it happened, but it just happened. One morning he woke up and he had a glazed look in his eye, and he was acting fretful and nervous, and he said, I don't know what's wrong with me, honey. I can't seem to get up. And she looked at him in horror, because she had never seen him like this before. This man had a strength, and this man had a stability about him, but she didn't know something was happening to him mentally. Something had been going on. The strain of it, the push of the world, fighting with the world, and coming home and fighting there, until finally the man snapped on one given morning. He couldn't take it. The sun arose, but he couldn't get up. The sun said, it's a new day, but now it was night for him, and this spirit swept over him. He lost that moment that he could have reached out in this world. It had gone from him. Insanity took him over, and now this man was bound. She said, the only thing I knew to do was to call an ambulance and come and take him. I didn't know what else to do. The strain had gotten to him, and the children were shocked. The neighbor said later, you would have never known this was coming, but something was dying on the inside. Let me tell you something, friend. Above land, above homes, above money, above friends, above family, above all things, to have an understanding is the most cherished possession that a human being can have. An understanding of the Word of God. An understanding of who God is. An understanding that this world is going to pass away. An understanding that the world is lost and dying and going to hell. Oh, you may say, I have an understanding. I know how to work my checkbook, but there's something more than that. I have an understanding. I know that my car doesn't mean anything to me. There's something more than just that. An understanding that there is an eternity. I'm afraid that we've gotten into a rut here at Austin Tabernacle, and a time of understanding is passing us by. I feel the hand of God opening the scrolls of heaven to us and about to give us a great Holy Ghost revival. But here we sit on a Sunday morning, and we have to be begged. We have to be cajoled. I've got to be like a cheerleader. And it's that way everywhere. It's not just here. It's the time in our world when people do not have an understanding of who we are and where we are and what's going on. But if we can get an understanding. Hallelujah. If we can but get an understanding of what's happening in our world. Hallelujah. And they took him, and they removed him. They took him to the insane asylum. They pumped him full of drugs. And this went on for quite a while. He did not know where he was, who he was, or what was happening. But one day, the article goes on to say, while he was walking down the hall, being escorted by two gentlemen, and while he was being led down that hall, suddenly something happened to him. Something took place. It scared the people that were around him, because they thought, this insane man is about to become violent. He threw the one gentleman that had him by the arm against one wall, and he threw the other gentleman against the other wall, and he took off running.
And as he come running down the hall, there was screaming and crying. The two men picked themselves up off of the floor and began to chase this crazy man, they thought. And he come running up to the nurse's station, and he looked back at the gentlemen that were chasing him, and he cried out. He said, "Before they catch me, understand what I'm about to tell you." He said, "I'm in my right mind." He gave his name, his address, his family. He said, "I don't know what I'm doing in here, but I don't need to be here." And for a moment, that woman said, his glazed over eyes were as clear as a bell, because the eyes are the windows to the soul. And this man began to talk coherently. He had a time of understanding, a small window in his experience of life, a moment of sanity in his insane world. And he said, "I don't belong here. This is not my home. I don't know how I got in this fix, but this isn't the way I want to live." And then that moment and time of understanding went by him. He couldn't hold to it. His eyes glazed over. His shoulders slumped again, and his arms hung limply. He wasn't going to hurt anybody. He wouldn't have hurt a soul, only his own. But he had that time of understanding. It was presented to him. What was he going to do with it? And he couldn't hold on to it. I'm telling you, that dark world took him over again. Listen to me, friend. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place, and I feel God dealing with every one of us. And I'm wondering, the powers that are fighting us, are we going to throw them off? Are we going to reach out and get a hold of what God has for us? I'm here to tell you, God is a God of enlightenment. He's a God of wisdom. He's a God of timing. He has great understanding. And I'm telling you, we're living in an insane world. You people, listen up to me this morning. I refuse to be intimidated by anybody in this world. I refuse to be put down. I refuse to be made to look foolish, because I understand the scripture to tell me that the devil has deceived the whole world. The whole world setteth and lieth in the lap of Satan. And I'm telling you, I'm in my right mind. I know what I'm doing. I know who I am. I have not lost my mind. I have my good senses. Just because I'm not going to kill myself for a mansion on a hill doesn't make me insane. Just because I'm not going to sell my soul out for a mess of pottage and for 50 or 60 or 70 years of a little bit of sin doesn't mean that I'm not in my right mind. I understand the Word of God. There is enlightenment in this book. It lets me to know there's an eternity. There's a hell. There's something to be shunned and something to be gained. There is a price to be paid, and it is worth the pain of that price. Hallelujah. So I don't get high on cocaine, I get high on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So I don't get drunk every Saturday night, but I get drunk on the Holy Ghost. There's nothing wrong with me. I have an understanding in my mind of what's right and what's wrong, and I'm going to hold to it. There are some people that are in here. They're being escorted by spirits. And if you let those spirits continue to work on you, they're going to steal from you the truth of the Word of the living God. And they'll take you in places you never dreamed that you could have ever gone to. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you make up your mind that that world of sin and that world of not understanding is not your home, you have the power and authority to tell the devil on your right, "Take your hands off of me." And tell the devil on your left, "Take your hands off of me." And to walk out of that place that the devil has made for you and said, "This is not my home. I'm not going to live here. I don't know what's wrong with some of us. It looks like we're just giving up the fight and letting the demons have their own way. And there's some of you sitting here nonchalantly. You don't even know what's going on anymore. You have no understanding. It's gone from you. You're scrambling and fighting for things that don't mean anything at all. So you can have more and better. My God, the Bible said one man prayed, said, Lord, help me that I might pay my bills and have food to eat, that I'll not become a thief. Hallelujah. Folks, Jesus said, if you got raiment on your body and food to eat and a roof over your head, thank God for it. If you're in your right mind, thank God for it. Hallelujah. 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 You know what happened to the gentleman? You may be seated. You know what happened to the gentleman? He had a time of understanding. And for a moment, he was willing to fight for it. But his brain clouded over, and he gave back into it. And they led him nonchalantly away. My God, I watch sinners. I have seen sinners. God stir them up. I see them pour through here like water running through a sieve. And you can see something light up in their eyes. And for a moment, they sit here in this worship and the power of God and say, I've never been in a service like this in all my life. I've never felt God like this. And they have that one time of understanding. But they walk out the doors and we don't see them again. Or they get the Holy Ghost and we don't see them again. Let me tell you something, friend. We can beg, we can call, we can write, we can knock on their doors. But until you get it in your own mind, I want an understanding. There ain't nothing I can do or you can do. It lies within you. Hallelujah. And now I'm watching churches everywhere. God is trying to pour out a time of understanding. We have this moment to do what we're going to do. And what is everybody doing? They're not praying. They're not fasting. They're not reading their Bible. They're not worshiping. They hardly come to church. They're not faithful. It's everywhere now. And I'm wondering, my God, what are people thinking anymore? Oh, but there's something in me that is saying, this is my time, this is my moment, this is our hour. I got an understanding. Give it everything you got. Go for it. Worship, praise, witness, pray, fast, read the Word of God. Do it now. I got another word for you. You may be seated. Not only will I not let the world intimidate me, I am not going to let Pentecostals intimidate me either. I refuse to be put in their mold. Listen to me. I got one shot at heaven. I got one life to live. And if you think I'm going to let a carnal apostolic pull on my coattail and tell me you don't have to do that, I'm going to tell them, get out of my way. Leave me alone. Don't touch me. I'm in my right mind. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If I were mindful of it, I'd turn back. But I got my eye on the gold, and I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not crazy. I'm not insane. The world is the one that's lost their mind. You may be seated. Who's crazy? They who sit in front of the television set, watch adultery, fornication, homosexuality, using God's name in vain, killing one another. Who's insane? I don't have a television, and I won't watch that trash, and I won't listen to them trash my God. Who's crazy? I, folks, am in my right mind because I know this world is going to pass away with fervent heat and fire, a time of understanding. The Holy Ghost talked to me this morning about one of you. You're being tempted by television. And I don't know if you've given into it already, but you better listen up to your pastor, because this is a time for understanding. Don't go back to the vomit. Don't go back to the vomit. He that will return to his sins is like a dog that will go back to the vomit. My God, God pulled you out of that sewer. Dear Lord, get away from it. Get away from it. A time of understanding. Some of you used to start every morning with Holy Ghost prayer, and now it's 5 days, 7 days, 2 weeks before you really pray through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, it's a time for understanding. It's a time to understand what's going on. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you what kills understanding. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. What I want. When I want it, how I want it, that'll kill understanding. Understanding cannot live in the garden of the weeds of self-centeredness. Understanding can only be cultivated in the garden that is continually toiled, tore up, weeded out, and it can flourish and grow. This young man was not a young man of understanding in the beginning. He didn't understand that he was living in a house that his daddy built. He didn't have an understanding that he was eating food that his daddy put on the table. He didn't have an understanding that the bed that he slept in was because his daddy had provided for him. All he could think about was me, myself, and I. And that lack of understanding took him to his father and said, I want what's coming to me. If he had got what was coming to him, he'd have got a beating in the back of the barn somewhere. Amen. But the father said, this child is not a child of understanding. I got to let him have his own way. And I'm going to tell you something. You push God long enough and you'll get what you want. You will get what you want. I talked to somebody this week, tears rolling down their cheeks, and they took me back in their life, and I understood why they were having so much trouble, and said it started years ago when a preacher told me not to do something, and he stood in the driveway weeping and crying and begged me not to do it, but I went ahead and did it anyhow. And I thought, yeah, and you set the stage for every other point in your life, because there were things that I told them and they wouldn't do it. A lack of understanding. After a while, God will give you what you want. And then when you get in that condition, you think, I am the wise one. Look who's got what they wanted early. And so the father let him have what he wanted. He turned him loose. He went to a far country. He had friends for a while. Hey, it ain't very smart when you get a bunch of dumb people around you. I don't want a bunch of dumb idiots around me telling me, go ahead. Do what you want to do. You don't have to live that way. Hey, man, what's wrong with you? You crazy? Go on, drink a little bit and smoke a little bit. You just got an old, hard, redneck preacher that's trying to cram a bunch of junk down your throat. Yeah, just go ahead and pull all those friends around you want. Just go ahead. And, honey, when you hit bottom, you look around and see if anybody's standing there. You just check it out. When you finally shipwreck, see if anybody's going to throw a lifeline out to you. No, they're just going to move on to the next one and sap them dry. Hey, amen. Not me. I'm going to pull 66 witnesses around my soul. Call the 66 books of the Bible. And I want them to witness to me that my God is a mighty God. And he's a jealous God. And he's a powerful God. Talk to me. Talk to me out of these 66 books. Tell me of his glory. Tell me of his might. Tell me about the streets of gold. Tell me about the mansions in heaven. Tell me about the gates of pearl. I got me 66 friends, honey, that talk to me every morning and point me on and say, you're a man of understanding. You better hold on to it. You better hold on to it. You may be seated. Some of you are killing yourself for nothing. You wouldn't lift one finger for the work of God. You'll kill yourself for your boss, but you never lift one finger for the work of God. When it's prayer meeting time, you're too tired. When it's soul winning time, you got business. Understanding of where we're headed. An understanding of what it's going to be when we face Him. He took all He had and went to a far country. He wanted to get as far away as He could. That's why people won't come to church all the time. Because they know what I'm going to do. They know I'm going to preach a good word of understanding. And when you want your mind darkened, you just don't darken the doors. Because I'm not going to beat around the bush, and I'm not going to pat you on the back and lie to you. I was praying this morning, thought about some preacher friends of mine used to preach this truth. Some of them in this area, they won't even preach it anymore. I thought, my God, what are they going to do in the judgment day? When all those people that they led into hell, what are they going to do in that hour? My God, if you think you're going to chase me through hell, you've got another thing coming, honey. If you're going to find me, you're going to find me around the throne. I know about a bunch of Assembly of God preachers up in Dallas that got the revelation of the name of Jesus Christ in water baptism. You know what those heathens did? They went out to a lake where none of their saints knew about it and baptized themselves in Jesus' name just to make sure that they wasn't going to hell, but they wouldn't baptize their saints. I'm here to tell you one thing. Every last one of them will still be lost. Some preachers won't tell their saints how to live, but they say, well, at least I'll live right. I'm telling you, my God, if you're living right, you'll preach it right. I've lost a lot of money of people I used to pastor here because they couldn't take it anymore. They took their money and left. If I told you how much it'd blow your ever-loving mind. But what's money? I have an understanding. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. What people are dying for over here is going to be nothing but highway pavement over there. Can I tell you something else? Some people can't live the apostolic because they got to wear all that jewelry. They die if they had to take those pearls off their neck. It means something to them to be able to wear all those diamonds and gold and pearls. They just can't live without it. My God! In God's world, pearl ain't nothing but gate ornament. Like I use a piece of cedar wood out behind my house, that's all pearl means in heaven. Because there's only one thing going to shine over there. Woo! It's the bright and morning star. My God, what's got into me this morning? I lost my mind? No, I don't think so. I'm in my right mind. I have an understanding of where this is going. Well, my Lord, help us. It's Sunday morning. It's wake up call. Ding, 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 ding. Your alarm clock's going off, honey. Oh, you better get up out of that bed and stir your soul. You may be seated. A time of understanding. Well, he lost it all. They always do. They always lose it all. I watched guys come along in my past. See, you don't know, but in my past, I've seen some great preachers who were idols of mine and great heroes, and they fell. And I said in my mind, if those guys can't do it, nobody can. But here comes along the young upstart punks, the professionals. They know it all, the master pastors. They're going to do it different. They come along and they push us old fuddy-duddies out of the way. Said, hey, you don't know what you're doing. I want to grab them and say, you snotty-nosed brat. Who do you think's been fighting this fight till you get what you got? Now you come in and siphon it off. Hallelujah. When somebody else fights the demons and devils, you just come in with your big old siphon hose and siphon it off so you can live like some kind of a king. I'm going to tell you something, friend. And they're going down one by one because nobody can do it without God. You start backing up from this, you're dead in the water. I'm telling you, it's still one God, Jesus' name, tongue talking, holiness, Jesus' name, baptized. I'm talking about good understanding. You may be seated. He ended up with nothing. He lost everything. And in the pig's pen, there came a time of understanding. Brother Clark, don't pray this on me. I'll pray whatever it takes on you. Brother Clark, don't do that to me. I'll do it. I'll pray God put you in a pig's pen. Because I'd rather have you saved coming out of a hog's pen than you walking out of a mansion somewhere, lost without God. Some of you look at me like you don't know what's going on. No, you don't. But God does, and the devil does, and I do. And honey, this is hitting home. It ain't knocking on your door. It's kicking the hinges off. I'm telling you, some of you have been wrapped up in some things, and God's trying to shake you right now and let you understand you've got what you've got because there's a Father that loves you. Woo! I got a roof over my head. I got a church. I got a preacher. I got the love of God. Woo! I'm getting what I deserve. This is what I want. I'm not leaving. I made up my mind this time I'm going to live. I'm in my right mind. You may be seated. So I tell you what happened to him. Everything was going. The Bible said that nobody would help him. And he looked down at that muddy old corn husk. And he started to eat the corn husk. He was lower than a sow's belly. He was on bottom. And nobody there to help him. When he started to think about where he came from, he said, you know what? The least there has got it better than I do. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's easy to sit in a church and criticize. It's easy to sit there and look around and pick out hypocrites. I have people say, I don't go to church because of hypocrites. They'll go sit with hypocrites at the bar. No, that ain't the trouble. The trouble is, they're hypocrite too. That's the problem. Anytime you hear somebody say that, just whoa, back off from them. Because, friend, they're tainted. They're warped. They're not of good understanding. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, there's going to be wheat and there's going to be tares. Leave them alone. Why don't you kick them out, Brother Clark? Leave them alone. Leave the tear be. If they turn into a wolf, I'll blow their head off. But as long as they're a tear, I got to leave them alone. Hallelujah. Because in that day, God will take care of the hypocrites. You hear me? He'll take care of them. Well, he takes care of them pretty quick around here. He's got to get blown on out of here. God have mercy. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I can be running 200 on one Sunday. About 4 weeks later, I'm down to 175. I wonder where the other 125 went to. Have me, Jesus. Hallelujah. If I ever get over this 200 mark, But I'm going to tell the devil, I ain't coming down and I'm not going back. And I'm in my right mind. Come on, church. We're about to have a Holy Ghost revival. God's going to find us some real, genuine people that are going to say, I see the light. I got a moment of sanity in an insane world. Let me in. Open the door. I'm a coming through. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Oh, God, have mercy. Hallelujah. He said, you know what? The hired hands. They who I never thought too much about and too much of, just kind of kicked on them and kicked at them and snubbed them. You know what? They got it better, the least in the kingdom, than what I got outside the kingdom. I think I'm going to do, at least they had enough sense to stay. I'm headed home. You know what happened to that man? That man had a little space of understanding. And standing knee-deep in the midst of that hog mess, he said, I think I'm going to get up out of here and I'm going to go home to my Father. I'm going to tell him I'm sorry and I'm going to tell him I ain't fit. You just send me to the barn and let me live there. But oh, when you get understanding, then God can start talking to you. God will start dealing with you. As long as you're going to be hard-headed and stubborn, God can't tell you what He's got for you. As long as you're going to be self-willed and stiff-necked and your back bowed up and always mad with a chip on your shoulder, God can't talk to you. Some people say, God never talks to me. Well, there's a reason why God doesn't talk to you. He can't talk to you because your mind is darkened and you got a carnal mind. You're mad all the time and you're always ready to fight and you're always tearing down things. But when He got in His right mind and He got a good understanding while He was coming down that road, the Father espied Him afar off and come running down those steps, running to meet Him. I'm here to tell you, friend, when you really get it right, you don't have to beg God for anything. You listen to me? Some of you go around begging. I'm here to tell you, when you get it right, God will move heaven and earth to touch your soul. The Father come running to Him. He said, I'm sorry. Yeah, you got it right. He said, I ain't worth it. Yeah, you got it right. And He said, I'll just live in the barn. No, you ain't got it right. You're coming back to the house where you belong. You're my child. Come on in, son. Somebody get the fatty calf. We're about to have a party. Folks, don't make it hard on the backsliders. Amen. If they're ready to get back with God, you better just pray them on through and let the Lord do what He wants to do. You may be seated. I'm going to tell you something. I'm so glad that some of you in here are not the pastor. If you did, He wouldn't stop at 175. It wouldn't quit till it was zero. Because you don't know how to keep your mouth closed. You're not of good understanding. You think you can do a better job than I can. You think I'm just putting up with sin. Let me tell you something. Some of you that are doing this, just be glad I am what I am. Or you'd have been gone a long time ago too. Because what's worse? Going to a movie? Having a long tongue, killing everything in the place. Well, I'm a man of good understanding. I'll tell you what, both of them are wrong. But if I could just get the long tongue back in the mouth and get them out of the movie house, I'm going to have revival. But the trouble is the long tongue runs everything out the door. Then you got to put up with the long tongue and you can't save the one who fouled up. Let me tell you something. That's why God called me the pastor. Because I got good common sense to understand when somebody fouls up, they're not hell bound. Had somebody ask me this past week, said, I've been trained over in Hebrews. Once that you have sinned and fallen from grace, that you cannot be returned to grace. I said, dear saint of God. I said, that's not what that means at all. I said, when Moses went to the top of the mountain, God said, come up, I have written myself upon the stones, the commandments. You come get them. You come get them. I'm going to give you understanding. When Moses came down out of that mountaintop, saw those naked people dancing around that golden calf, he got so mad, he took God's understanding and broke it in two. You let what people do affect how you live for God, and you are not a man of understanding. I ain't going back to church because I know what Sister So-and-so, but you're not a woman of understanding. You got your eyes on one, and you ain't looking at the 99 that are living for God. Amen. But when Moses did what he did, the anger of God came against him and said, listen, the law still stands and my word is still true and you're still going to preach it. Now come back up to the top of the mountain. But this time, you're going to carve it out with your own hand. Friend, when you come to Jesus the first time, you come by the power of the blood of the Lamb. But when you walk on that blood, the next time around, you're going to have to show Him that you mean to live for God and you mean business. That's why there's a struggle sometimes. But if you'll hang on and you'll hang in, the blood will be fresh and new again. The commandments came, but Moses had to chisel it out. You take your hands off of it. Let the prodigal come on home. I'm telling you, something's about to happen, folks. There's a stir in the camp. God's trying to do something. Let's just stay right. Let's stay full of the Holy Ghost. Let's be people of understanding. You may be seated. I don't preach on a little longer. I should stop, but I'm going to preach on just a little longer. Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest of all the Gentile kings. Of the image that was seen, he was the head of gold. Nobody was greater than Nebuchadnezzar. Not even this Antichrist that's going to come up. Because of all of the image of each kingdom, the head of gold was number one. The Antichrist, all he's going to have is 10 toes of clay. And that's all he's going to have left. It's just going to be a mixture there in the end of iron and clay. He ain't going to have any power. I know he's going to do horrible things. But Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest of understanding of all. Till he came to this place and said, look what I've done. He lost his understanding. He stood on the balcony and said, by my might and by my power have I gotten what I have. And it is of my own might. He lost his mind right there. For 7 years, he ate grass in the early morning like a cow. His hair got long. Claws came to him like bird claws. But after 7 years, there came a moment of understanding. And that insane man looked up in the heavens and said, all that I have is because of God. He stood up on his feet. He lifted his hands and said, the Lord God hath made the heavens and all that is therein. He had a moment of understanding. I'm the king because of the king. I'm a ruler because of the Lord of Lords. Folks, Austin Tabernacle needs to come on and get with the program. I don't know what's got into some of you, but you're sitting back. And I'm commanding you in the name of Jesus, get up off of your laurels and start doing the work of God. You're not witnessing. You're not praying. You're not fasting. You're not getting a hold of God. You're going by what you used to have. Look what I am. I'm warning us. I'm warning you. I'm warning me. The Holy Ghost is passing through this camp, and some of you are riding on thin ice. You may be seated. I can't get you out to knock doors anymore. You stay home on prayer meeting night. You get a little sniffle and you miss church. This is broke down, that's broke down, this is going wrong, that's going wrong. But you let the preacher start laying out. And you'll crucify him. There's times, you know, when I'm here, I'm definitely sick. I can't even get up off the sick bed. There's other times I roll out of the bed, put my clothes on in pain and agony. Because I know that if I'm not in the house of God, you're going to have something to say about me. But you don't want me open my mouth while you lay home with a little headache. And I'm going to tell you what that spirit is. It's the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. You look out on your world and you look at what you've done and you say, God should be pleased. But I'm telling you, when God got through with Nebuchadnezzar, he knew how to worship. He said, I am a man of understanding. The king met the king. The Lord met the Lord. And he said, he's the higher power. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a pagan king that didn't mind taking anybody's life. He could have a man killed just at the whim of his own word. But when he came face to face and lost his mind, and 7 years, when he had that moment of understanding, I'm telling you, he got a hold of it and he wouldn't turn it loose. I'm feeling Holy Ghost knocking on the door of this church. And I'm wondering, are we people of understanding? I'm wondering, are we people of understanding? You need to get the Bible, and you need to get that book, Unseen Hands, and you'll see why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. Ain't nobody going to push me aside in that day at the throne. I said, God, I may not be a tacklemera, and I may not have to suffer like that right here in America, but I promise you, if that man, every time he goes to church, walks through those doors and he falls on his knees, that's the first thing he does. And he bows his face to the ground and he stays there in the presence of God in humility. I said, God, from now on, if he can do it, I said, who am I? You just get this old boy in this suit, and wherever I am, whenever I bow to pray, you let me bow my knees and put my face to the ground and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of heaven. God, I'm in my right mind. Don't let me lose what you're giving to me right now. Please, God, don't let me fall back. Don't let me let up. There's everything calling right now. Preachers are calling out. Saints are calling out. They're saying, stop this. Stop it. Man, you'll drive the church up the wall. Well, that's what I preach about, don't I? Hallelujah. Over the wall. Praise God. And I'm asking you, I want to know, has God been talking to any of you lately? Has God been dealing with something in your life and heart? Let me ask you this. Has God been telling you it's time to really worship? Can I ask you that? You don't have to lift your hand. I know He has. Has God been talking to some of you, telling you that you need to get involved in the church? Yes, He has. So, Brother Clark, I've got a home to take care of. I got a husband to feed. I got this. I got that. Yeah. You got the cares of life wrapping around you, too. Has God been telling you it's time to really get involved and get into this with all your heart? But somehow you just feel yourself pulling further and further apart, back. Well, I got excuses, Brother Clark. I'm going to ask you this. I want to ask you this. Would you say that if He would stand here right now this morning? Said, this is why I don't come to church regularly. This is why. Would you tell Him that face to face? Can I tell you a little secret that I've gotten lately? God, how did it have to last this long? I don't know. But it's great for my life. I'm glad. Brother Brown, it did something to me. Honest to God, it really did. You know what happened to me recently? I was so upset with my life and with things of God. I really was. And I said, and so I started on my little pity party. And I started telling God this, and all of a sudden the Lord said, I want to know something. You're talking to me in the Spirit. If I were standing physically before you, would you say these things? I said, I don't think so. He said, would you talk to me like that? I said, no, I don't think so. He said, you mean you wouldn't tell me off that way? If I was standing right here, I said, I think I know where this conversation's going. I don't think so. He said, so you wouldn't do this to me personally, face to face? I said, well, I was wondering, how long is he going to do this? I said, no, I don't think so. And I got to getting smaller and smaller and smaller. He said, well, I'm here in the Spirit. And when you pray to me, you're talking to me. Why are you talking to me this way? I was right here in the church. My wife don't even know. It's the first time she's hearing it. I ain't told nobody. I was too embarrassed. I said, Lord, my God, I felt like I was fixing to swallow my Adam's apple. I said, God, will it ever come back up again? Folks, I'm telling you, I was shaking, trembling.
I said, all right. I said, all right. I'm sorry. I won't talk to you that way anymore. He said, son, if you talk to me in the spirit this way, it's the same as though you're talking to me in the flesh. And he said, you wouldn't do that if I were standing here. I said, no, Lord, not in that body. Not those nail-scarred hands. Not those nail-scarred feet. Not that crown of thorns riveted across his head. Still there. You could see the scars. I wouldn't do it. And so, God gave me good understanding. Don't do in the spirit what you're not willing to do at the throne. If you're going to tell him, you better be ready to back it up there. Brother Nash, something's happened to me. I come very, very lowly of heart. Bold, yes. But my speech has changed. I no longer say to him, you're unfair to me. I just say, you will do what's right. Give me understanding how to come before you. Please, God. I want everybody to lift your hands right now. And I want you to tell the Lord, God, these things you've been dealing with me, and I'm ready to make the change. I want revival. God, I don't know how I got caught up in some of the things I got caught up in, but I've been rocked, and I'm ready. Amen. I'm ready to change. I just want you to lift your hands and tell him, give me understanding right now. Touch mine eyes, that I might see a lost and a dying world. God, why can't I be self-motivated? Why does Brother Clark always have to be there pushing me? Why can't I just do it because there's something in me wanting to do it? Pray, church. Let's pray a little while. Go ahead, tell the pastor. Always telling me, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to do it. Come on, let's tell the Lord right now. Let's talk to God right now. A time of understanding. Amen. Some of you need to get some self-motivation. You need to get a burden for the lost. You need to get a hunger for God. Amen. You know what? It has been said around this metro area, don't go to Brother Clark's church because he'll make you do a lot of things. You people know by now I don't make you do anything. You know that now, don't you? People say don't go there because that man is a dictator and he'll make you. I don't make you do nothing. I don't make you do one thing. I'll tell you one thing, though. If you're going to sing in the choir, you're going to have to live, right? You're going to be a musician. You chose. You want to be in that position of leadership. You're going to have to do right. But I can't make you do anything. See, what it is they don't like this kind of preaching. That's the trouble. They don't want to change. They don't want to understand what God wants. But I'm going to tell you, folks, when we lift our hands in the next few minutes, what we say in the Spirit, we're saying to it as though we were talking to Him face to face. I want us to stand one more time, and I want us to lift our hands and tell Him, God, You are so great. You are so mighty. I want You to change me, and I want You to touch me. I want You to make a soul winner out of me, and I want You to make a worshiper out of me. I lay all this petty stuff down. Church, I'm telling you, I can't make you do it. But if You will, You can. Come on, let's pray. If You will, You can. Let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Somebody. Has this moment of understanding. Won't you follow it to the foot of the cross? Won't you follow it to the foot of the cross? Won't you come to the foot of the cross? Won't you bring those uplifted hands? This moment of understanding. Please, God, while the world is falling away, while the shackles are falling off of my feet, I'm coming. I'm lifting my hands, and I'm going to praise You this morning like You're worthy of being praised. Who'll be the first to step out? Who'll be the first to come into this aisle and stand at the front and throw every spirit off, left, right? Anything that would hold you, just come stand. Lift your hands. This is what it's going to take to have a Holy Ghost revival. This is what it's going to take to have a move of God. Oh, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. I can't make you come. I can't make you worship God. I can't make you give your all to God. There's no way, no way. But if there's a hunger in your soul, would you lift your hands right now and say, God, I give you everything. I give you my all. Now give me understanding. Let me see. Let me hear. Church, we need to pray. Oh, God. Oh. Come on, church. The Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of... Church, I feel that same sweet Spirit moving through this auditorium right now. Would you fall in love with the Lord? There you go. There you go. Beautiful, beautiful. Go. Lift your hands and fall in love with the Lord. Go ahead. Beautiful. Tell Him how much you love Him right now. Tell Him. I love you, Jesus. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. Oh, my God.
And you swore your sweet love to me.
With every eye closed, I want you to hear some of the things the Lord would give us understanding of this morning. I want you to see 5 billion people. And I want you to see them in a long, long line going into that place called Him. Everybody listen up now. God wants to give you understanding this morning. And the only thing that will save them is Acts 2:38. If they do not have this truth, they will burn forever and forever and forever. I want every man to get that understanding. I want every saint to get that understanding. Everybody that you work with, everybody that you meet, every face that you see, every soul that you pass is going to hell forever and ever, never, never, never. Church, the fires will never be quenched. The worm dieth not. And in the Greek, that word worm means soul. They will turn, they will roll, they will scream, they will cry. Your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you have that understanding, I want you to lift your right hand toward heaven. And say, Lord, put it upon the soul. Put it upon the walls of my heart. All right. You can put your hand down. The second thing the Lord wants to give you an understanding is that when we stand before Him, we will be wearing a white garment. And that garment will not have spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. When people tell you what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that, you tell them this. I have one shot.
One shot.
I've got one life to live, and that's all I've got. If you want to play games with your soul, go ahead. Find you a preacher that'll pat you on the back, live just like you, and live a worldly life. But I want you to have an understanding. I want you to see God sitting on that throne right now. And I want you to see that mighty holy God. And I want you to tell the Lord, give me understanding that it's going to take everything I've got. If the righteous scarcely make it, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? I want you to ask God right now, put that understanding in me. Now, if you want that, I want you to lift your right hand toward heaven right now and say, oh God, give me that understanding. Tell the Lord that right now. God, this world is not my home. Tell Him that. Lord, why am I battling this stupid stuff that doesn't mean anything after all? Let me be ready. I want you to lift that right hand and say, oh God, give me this understanding of what it's going to take to be in the rapture. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Everybody put down your right hand again. Now, the last thing that I'll pray for you this day that you'll have an understanding. I want you to go with me, please, and follow the drops of blood. The crowd on the street has gotten quiet. Some have gone on out the gate. Some have crossed on over, and they've gone up to Golgotha. Most have gone back to what they were doing. I want you to follow with me like a bloodhound. Every drop of blood. Come with me, church, while your head is bowed and your eyes are closed. And I want you to stand there at Golgotha. And I want you to see Jesus hanging on that tree for you and me. And I want you to see Him writhing in pain and the blood flowing down. Now, you look at that and you get a good understanding. And you tell me now that it's not worth my all. It's not worth reaching to a lost and a dying world. Now, I want you to look upon the face of Jesus that is so marred now that they couldn't understand Him. They couldn't even, hardly knew who it was. His visage was so marred. And I want you to see the people spitting on Him and mocking Him and ridiculing Him. And I want you to hear Him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want you to lift your right hand now and say, Jesus, give me an understanding of what You did at the cross for me. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? How can you live in sin, young lady? Saint, how can we hold back our best? Come on, lift your hands.
Nearer, blessed Lord.